We've been talking about our church, and one of the descriptions that we use of our church all the time, it is a Bible-based church. So today I want to talk about the Bible, and I want to use just three very elementary, fundamental questions. One is, what is it? The second one is, where did it come from? And the third one is, what good is it? What is it? Where did it come from? And what good is it? I hope you have the scriptures that were in the little tract that I included in the bulletin. If not, I'll tell you where they are, and you can look them up in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And we're trying to answer three questions. Those three questions is, what is it? Where did it come from? What good is it? And we're going to mix those questions in as we look at the passages of Scripture. What is it? Where did it come from? What good is it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings. The sacred writings are the scriptures, primarily the Old Testament, that Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him. His father was not a godly type person. He was a Greek and not a Jew. He was not involved in the religious training. But his mother and his grandmother was very, very strong. And they taught him the scriptures. And it means that from infancy, from the time he was a baby, they taught him scripture. And that always fascinates me because it's always the question, when can I start teaching my child about God? When can I start teaching my child about God? And at any point you start, they won't understand a lot that you're saying. Right? So you just start early. Just start early. Start reading them the scriptures. Start talking about God and talking about that Jesus loves them. And all kinds of ways to do that. But it says about Timothy that he knew scripture from infancy. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings. Then it says that the sacred writings are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You're saved not by knowing the Bible, but you're saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. How do I put my faith in Jesus Christ? How do I find out about Jesus Christ? That's how. It gives you the wisdom that leads you to faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you know about Him. Through the Scriptures. It's very, very important that you understand the Scriptures has a part in your salvation. In fact, 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the living and abiding Word of God. So the Bible is involved in me becoming a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I believe in the Bible. I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus. How do I find out about Jesus? From the Bible. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to convert us and change us. God uses the Bible to make a difference in our life. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, all Scripture. In other words, in verse 15, I was talking about the Old Testament. Now I'm talking about all Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God. Let's stop right there. Inspired by God means that it is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. What that means is Scripture is just as if it came from the mouth of God. It's just as if God spoke it Himself. He did use men to write it. They wrote it. They used their language and their words, but what they wrote was exactly what God wanted them to write. How much Scripture is God-breathed? All Scripture is inspired by God. And then he tells us there are four things it's useful for. At least four things. We found out in verse 15 it was useful for what? Tell me. To give me the wisdom that leads to salvation. So in verse 15, it tells, it gives me the wisdom and leads to salvation. Then he says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. King James, I think, says useful. It is profitable for teaching. What's the second one? Reproving. Correction. Training in righteousness. So teaching or doctrine is what I should believe. What I should believe. And sometimes we say, well, it doesn't make a difference what I believe just so I live right. It makes a lot of difference what you believe. The difference between whether a person going to heaven or hell is what they believe. It's Jesus, right? What they believe. So what I believe is very, very important. And the Bible tells me what I should believe. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable, useful for teaching, for doctrine, for what I should believe, for, what's the next one? Reproof. That tells me what I should not believe. That tells me what I should not believe. Years ago when I trained dogs, and it was years ago, and so it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier to train a young dog than an old dog. Now, people would say old dogs can't learn new tricks. That's not true. But the problem was, you could teach them anything new you wanted to, but the problem was that all the old stuff, the bad stuff that they already knew, that they had to unlearn. Does that make sense? And as a Christian, as a human being, if I'm not careful, I begin to believe the wrong stuff. So the scriptures are able to tell me what not to believe. In other words, if somebody comes along and says, there's many gods. If I've been raised in a country that believes there are many gods, my parents taught me there are many gods. Not just one God, there are many, many gods. There's a God for everything. Then I pick up the scriptures and I find out there's only one God. So the scriptures reprove me and say, no, that part that you believed is wrong. You need to change that. That's wrong. There are not many gods. There's just one God. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Okay. Correction means what you should not do. Correction means what you should not do. Occasionally, when somebody first started reading the Bible, or when a young person wants to complain about scriptures, they would say, it's too many thou shall nots in there. Too many don't do this and don't do that and don't do something else. And there are a lot of them. You go through the Ten Commandments, there's a lot of them, right? The first one says you put God first, but the third one says you shall not use God's name in vain. The sixth one says you shall not kill. The seventh one says you should not commit adultery. The eighth one says you should not steal. The ninth one says you should not lie. So there are a lot of negative ones in there of what I should not do. And that's where I find out what I should not do is from Scripture. So I find out what I should believe, what I should not believe, what I should not do. What I should not do. Where do I find it? Tell me again. From Scripture. And the last one is for the training in righteousness. For training in righteousness. That's what I should do. I think about when I'm ever wrestling with that scripture and it talks about what I should not do and what I should do. I think about the parent that caught the little kid and the kid said, I ain't done nothing. I ain't done nothing. But sometimes it's just as wrong to do nothing as it is to do something that's wrong. Does that make sense? Didn't sound like it did. In other words, not to do anything. If I met a car and I knew the bridge was out down that way, past my house, and I knew the bridge was out, and I met a car coming and I didn't try to stop him, that would be wrong. Right? To well, it's not my problem. Let him go on and fall in the ditch. It's all right. Let him go. It's not my problem. There's something I need to do. There's some action I need to take. I need to try to warn him, it's trouble ahead, don't go there. Don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. So the Bible will lead us to salvation. What verse is that? That's verse 15, right? The Bible will lead us to salvation. It'll tell us what to believe, what not to believe, what not to do, and what to do. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? We can just stop and go home, okay? That pretty much covers it. It's all right there. God tells us how to be saved. He tells us that through Scripture. He tells us what I should believe, and what I should believe is very, very important. He tells us what I should not believe. In other words, if I'm believing something wrong, I need to correct it. Then he tells us what I should not do. And there are a lot of those in there, a lot of them. And then he tells me what I should do. And it's all in the Scriptures. So our church is Bible-based. It's based on Scripture. That's what we teach. That's what we say you need to believe. That's what you need to go by. If somebody asks, well, what must I do to be saved? We need to show them from the Scriptures. I don't need to just tell them off the top of my head what they should do. I should need to show them from the Scriptures. When a person wants to know, well, what does your church teach about so-and-so? It's not important what my church teaches. It's important what God says. It's important what God says. What does God say? What things as a person I should not do? What are some things I should not do? They right there. The Scriptures reveal that to me. Don't do that. There are things that I should be doing. There are things that I should be doing. And the Bible tells me what that is. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, adequately, completely equipped for what? Every good work. So how can I be mature and complete and perfect and fulfilled in every aspect of my life? How? From the Scriptures. From the Scriptures. That's how I learn what I should be doing. That's where I learn what I should not be doing. That's what where I learned what I should believe. And in our society, for some strange reason, we say it doesn't make any difference what you believe, just so you believe something. No, we used to say, just so you are sincere. If you're sincere. Did you know it's possible to be sincerely wrong? It's impossible to be sincerely wrong. I'm not very good. Almost everywhere I go, I went to South Carolina this week, this last 3 days, but almost everywhere I go, I get lost. I finally got a GPS, but if I'm not careful, I'll get lost with the GPS. And it goes crazy. But I gave it the wrong address one time, and I didn't know how to cut the crazy thing off. I keep it in my pocket right here. And I mean, it was 30 minutes later and was still telling me, turn this way. I done stopped. My car was in the yard. I was in the house. It was still talking to me. Said I went the wrong way. Well, I was where I wanted to go. I had just given it the wrong address. Okay? I had given it East Ashley instead of West Ashley, or West Ashley instead of East, one or the other. But I found the place because I knew once I got close, I knew where I was going. But it kept talking to me and telling me. Yeah, sometimes I think that's God's GPS. And sometimes it needs to talk to us. It needs to say, boy, you are messing up for sure. This is the way you do it, not that way. But we think, boy, as long as I'm sincere about what I believe, it's okay. No, it's not. My sincerity doesn't help. It's got to be truth. It's got to be right for what I believe. What's the next passage? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Is that right? So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever given by act of human will, but men moved, tell me, by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So what do we find here? The Bible is like a light in a dark place. What good is it? It's like a light in a dark place. You know what this world is? A dark place. And boy, do we need light. I joked last week about the fellow that was 100 years old. And he said, somebody told him, he said, "You've seen a lot of changes in your 100 years?" And he said, "Yeah, I have, and I was against every one of them." Well, I am against the government messing up my lights. You know, you have a problem with they got these new lights. They put in a new light in my house. And they put in one of these lights. It's not a light. I mean, if I'm right down looking right straight at it, I can tell it's on. But otherwise, I don't know what the light's on or off. And you add that to the fact I want it to be bright to start with, and I'm getting older and I need more light anyway. It just makes me mad. The reason I have a light in my house is so I have a light in my house. If it's not a light, there's no need for it to be there. If it doesn't light up anything, there's no need for it to be there. This is a light in a dark world. This is a light in a dark world. And most of us, as it were, and break our neck falling over stuff that's terrible. Because we don't use the light. We don't let it show us what's wrong and what's right. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, and the day star rising in our heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. What that means is, I can't say I'm using the Bible and just put my ideas on it. I got to let it say what it says and mean what it means. I got to let it say what it says and mean what it means. I can't just say, well, this is what I believe. Let me find a verse to prove that. And sometimes you can find one, right? No private interpretation. No me just saying, well, this is what I think, so that must be what the Bible teaches. No, that's not necessarily what the Bible teaches. Your heart is deceitful. You got to be careful about what you say you believe. You need to make sure you can base it on Scripture. It's not of any private interpretation. You can't just say what you want to say and say that's based on the Bible. For no prophecy was ever given by an act of human will, but what? Where did it come from? Men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The Holy Spirit so directed what they wrote that the end result was what God wanted to be written. So, I need to use the Bible. Since it's from God, it's a light for me. It will show me the way in a dark area. I need to use it as a light. It needs to be a light for my path. I'm amazed at the number of Christians who don't ever want to study Scripture. Let's get together and just talk. You know, let's just get together and you think, and you tell me what you feel, and I'll tell you what I feel, and hit person tell us what we feel, and we go home. But now we're going to have a Bible study. We have a Bible. I don't want to go to a Bible study. I want to go and just share. Share what I think, and you share what you're thinking. And somebody else share what they think. No, I need to study Scripture. I need to know what the Bible says. If you were to ask me, why do you believe that, Lee? I need to be able to tell you, this is why I believe that. I can show you. Why do you do that? Or why do you not do that? I can show you. See, that's what I need to, the Bible needs to be a practical book in my life. A real part of my life. That whatever I'm doing is influenced by Scripture. Whenever, that recently there have been two or three Bible movies And usually if somebody talks to me about a Bible movie, I usually say, what you need to do is go see it and compare it with the Bible. You need to compare it with the Bible. Because I want to tell you, Hollywood does some funny things to them Bible stories. I mean, they do some funny things to them. But if you don't know the Scripture, guess what has more influence on you? What you see or what you read? What you see. So you need to make sure when you check it out, when you go see it, you compare it with Scripture. But as a Christian, I need to compare everything with Scripture. Everything. Whatever's going on, I need to compare it with Scripture. When my government says, nah, it's a law, it's homosexuality is okay, I need to say, no, doesn't make any difference what the government says. My Bible says it's not okay. I need to know that. My boss says, you just tell a lie on that form and say that we worked 40 hours when we only worked 15, and I'll cover it up. I'll be all right. I won't let anybody know. Nope. The ninth commandment says you shall not lie. I need to use the Bible as a everyday normal part of my life. It needs to be a part of how I live and what I do and what I believe and what I don't believe. No Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Then the last verse I put on there was Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My words will not pass away. I'm not even sure when I saw it, but several weeks ago, looking at stuff on TV, somebody making a sandcastle. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not a beach person, so I've never really seen a sandcastle. I've never seen somebody do that. But I've seen a lot of them on TV. I mean, and on TV, boy, they show some beautiful ones. I've seen pictures of The Last Supper. Have you ever seen that picture of sandcastle, The Last Supper? And boy, just people, it's fantastic stuff. Just great, great stuff. And I guess I'm just too lazy. I don't think I'd spend all that time building a beautiful sandcastle that I know that when the tide changes or whatever happens, it's going to be gone. Now, in a way, sort of admire those people who spend all that time. Then you take a picture, and I guess you got the picture. But then I think about, I may have spent my whole life building a sandcastle. I may have spent my whole life investing it in something that in a few years is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. It's not going to amount to anything. For a long, long time, I have tried to figure out what things are going to really last. I want to invest my life in something that's going to last. I want to invest my life in something that's going to last. Using this book as my guide, I've found three things that's going to last. God's going to last because He's eternal, right? Your soul's going to last. You know what? The one other thing the Bible says is going to last forever? The Word of God. The Word of God. We need to invest our time in things that's much more permanent. I wish I'm not very good at telling illustrations. My wife says I tell the same illustrations over and over. But there are a few illustrations I've heard that I wish I remembered. I remember somebody making a big, big deal, big, great illustration, went into a lot of detail and all that stuff, about the fellow that built his house on the bridge. He's spending all his time building this magnificent house on the bridge and going from one spot to the other spot, and he stopped in the middle and took all that time to build him a nice house. Couldn't live there. We're spending all of our time building a house on the bridge. We're spending all of our time building a sandcastle that in many ways are very, very beautiful. But the tide shifts and the water comes in and it's gone. In the cartoon I was looking at, they built a little figures, and he went to get his partner, there's a little kid, he went to get his dad or whoever, went to show him what he'd built. When he got back, guess what? It was gone. It was gone. It was nothing anymore. How about our life? Are we investing our life and our time in something that just in a few years is going to be gone? Heaven and earth, Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words are not going to pass away. They're going to be here forever. Let's review. In 2 Timothy 3:15, we saw that the Scripture is involved in us coming to salvation, right? It gives us the wisdom, at least the knowledge. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be saved. It's right there. Verses 16 and 17, 2 Timothy, it talked about, tells us what to believe, what not to believe, what not to do, and what to do. Let's go back and look at chapter 4. I skipped that a minute ago. Let's go back and look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. What's the next verse? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Preach the word. What word is that? The word he just talked about. All scriptures inspired by God. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And I don't care what you're talking about. You can talk about hunting season, sporting season, whatever you talk about is either in season or out of season, right? So what does that mean? You preach the word when? All the time. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Fall, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Timothy, I want you to go preach the word. Because it is from God. It'll tell people how to be saved. It'll tell people what to believe. It'll tell people what not to believe. It'll tell people what not to do. It'll tell people what to do. It'll tell them how to be complete and mature and perfect. I want you to preach the word. But as you do that, Timothy, I want you to preach the word in season and out of season. I want you to preach it all the time. But I want you to realize there's going to come a time when they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. They'd much rather hear entertaining stories than the truth of God's word. They'd much rather hear entertaining stories than the truth of God's word. But you be sober. What else? Be sober and what else? Verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Is that what it says? Fulfill your ministry. If you are a Christian, God has given you a ministry. God has given you something to do. And in some way, somehow, it is related to Scripture. Because God's Word tells us what to believe, what not to believe, what not to do, and what to do. It tells us how to be saved. It leads us. It gives us the wisdom that leads to salvation. You need to make the Bible an important part of your life. You need to make the Bible an important part of your life. Now, because of your giftedness, some other people may study a lot more than you study. Very few of you are going to study the Bible as much as Chuck does. Okay? But every one of you ought to study the Bible some. You ought to study the Bible some. You ought to make it a regular part of your life. When Moses shared in the book of Deuteronomy, he was sharing the law that the people already had heard before. He said, "These words which I commanded you shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, the Bible, God's word, should be a normal part of your everyday life. You go see the movie. What do you compare it with? Did they say in the movie what the Bible says? Our government changes a law. Does the Bible say anything about that law? We run across somebody that says, "I think this is okay." What does the Bible say? And you say, "Well, Lee, I don't always know what the Bible say." Find out. Okay? Find out. There are many ways to find out. Sometimes you can ask the preacher, but you know what's better? Find out for yourself. Figure out, how do I find out what the Bible says about certain things? It should be your authority. I've had a person quit my church because I said, "Grandmama shouldn't be your authority. The Bible should be your authority." And they said I said something against their grandmama. I didn't even know their grandmama, so I didn't say anything against it. But I was trying to make a point that this needs to be the authority in my life. Not what Daddy said, not what Mama said, not what Grandmama said, not what my preacher said, not what my denomination says. This needs to be the authority. The Bible. Because all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We say our church is Bible-based. As in all areas, we're not perfect in that either. But that should be our aim. That should be our goal. That should be what we want for our church, to be based on the Bible. Not on any denomination, not on even our church history. It should be based on Scripture. A Bible-based church. That's our goal, Smyrna Christian Church.